Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray tonight and ask God to help us. Father, we can only say how great you are. We can only say tonight how faithful you have been to us. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that when we have been unfaithful, you are faithful still. And Father, we thank you that we have these glorious words in your scripture. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would reaffirm us in our faith and trust in you, that you will bring us to the end of this race. Father, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you truly understand life and you truly understand fallen humanity, or even you truly understand yourself, then when you read the words of this passage right here, these are some of the sweetest, I would say most soul-comforting words in the Bible, because they are directed to all the people of God at all times in history. And our hope and our expectation that we will persevere unto eternal life lie in these glorious words: God is faithful. When you say God is faithful, you're saying that God is entirely, completely, absolutely trustworthy. And the character of God absolutely guarantees the acceptance of every true believer on the day of Christ. When we read the Word of God, we see that we have many great and precious promises within the Word of God. And Scripture is full of promises that God gives us from Genesis to Revelation. But the performance and the fulfillment of all of these exceeding great and precious promises are conditioned and are dependent upon the faithfulness of God. Just to give you an example, the provision for our salvation. God was faithful to send the Savior into the world to die for our sins. Or to the subjects of salvation, God was faithful to give a people to Christ to come into the world to redeem from their sins. Or the application of our salvation and the accomplishments of it by the work of your Holy Spirit. You know, all these things lie on the fact that our God is faithful, and it lies completely on the integrity of God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, he said, he that begun a good work in you will complete it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 13, he says, God will work in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. And I'm just adding this to it, until that day. It gets frustrating many times because many Christians do not perceive the glory and comfort in the words that God is faithful, by whom you were called to the fellowship of his Son. But there's a lot of comfort in these words, because basically what he's telling me, if God has called you, he will bring you to the end of this race. And God will be faithful to see to it that we make it to the end. Now, I want to start out tonight by just giving you some scriptures that tell us about God's faithfulness to his people to see that they will endure to the end. The first one will be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Paul says, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you notice those words there, completely and blameless. And then in verse 24, he says, this is a blessed passage of scripture, he who calls you is faithful, in other words, trustworthy, who also will do it. So Paul is basically saying here, not only is he faithful who promised all these things, but he is powerful, he's omnipotent, and he's able to see to it that it will get done. You know, God has the power to execute his will that we be preserved blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. And the completion of the sanctification process, which usually will ultimately end in glorification, It rests in the power of God. If you stand tonight, you're standing in the power of God. You know, God is upholding us. And even though we're using the means, as we'll talk about that, you know, we have to use the means to persevere in the faith. But at the same time, the power of God is operating through the means that we use to be preserved in the faith. God is faithful. You know, we have to look and trust in his power that he will see us through the end. Now, I will give you an example of God's power working in the means. Example, Romans 1:16. Paul says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying, preach the gospel and sinners would be saved. Paul is basically saying the power to save sinners and turn them to saints, it rests in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is preached by everyday, ordinary, sinful men to sinful men. But if you preach that, the power of God will operate in the salvation of sinners. John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. So what Jesus is saying there is there is power in the preaching of the word of God or just reading and studying the word of God to set us apart and make us holy before God. There's power in just reading the word of God, and God will operate to make his people holy. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful. And he also says, this is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But what I just want to show you is that God is working his power behind the means that we use for salvation. I am a firm believer that the gospel will save sinners. I am a firm believer that men's way of thinking that sinners will be saved is stupid. Because the power of God is in the gospel. The power of God is in faith in Jesus Christ, the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Jim's favorite scripture, I know this is his favorite scripture, it may not be. But he said, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to preserve you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, he said, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and power both now and forever. And what he's basically saying here is God is able to keep you from stumbling. God has the power and the strength and the ability to keep us until the day of Jesus Christ. And as we talked this morning, the devil is not able to snatch you out of his hand. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But then he says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So what Paul is basically saying here is that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able when you go through these temptations. He's just saying that he will not allow you to go beyond what you are powerful enough to withstand. The Williams translation says, no temptation has taken hold of you, but what is common to human nature. In other words, you will go through nothing that is not the lot of all mankind. You know, there's nothing you go through that's outside of the realm of what everybody goes through on this earth. But then he goes and says, but God is to be trusted, not to let you be tempted beyond your strength. But when the temptation comes, to make a way out so that you may be able to bear up under it. So the key to that passage of scripture is the fact that God is in faithful control, and you know this, of all we face or all we'll ever allow to go through in our life. And I hope you don't have the theology of most Christians, because the most Christians' theology about God being faithful, if they think God is faithful when life is good. Y'all with me? Oh, God has been faithful this week. God is faithful every week.
Amen.
God is faithful every day. God is faithful simply because his character is faithfulness. You know, he's faithful because he is God. He can be nothing else but faithful.
Amen.
I think about it all the time in my life. The condition of my life is not, God's faithfulness is not based on the condition of what I'm going through or my situations or circumstances. God is faithful because he is God. God will not fail us as we go through trial and tribulation. He will never leave or forsake us. He has promised us this. And God, by his wisdom, he limits the severity of our trials and our tribulation. And he makes it possible for us when we are tested to hold out under them, because God has a divine purpose in them, that Romans 8:28, that is for our good. That sometimes we get in situations and you say, I don't think I'm going to make it through this. And you look around the other side and God gets you through it. You know, and I know some people say, well, you know, some temptations, it seemed like people never got out of them. But God had a plan. He was working. I don't know what all happened there. I just believe the scriptures. Jesus told Peter, I pray for you that your faith will not fail. And Peter's faith did not fail. You know, the devil did not overthrow him when he betrayed his Savior. But God is faithful and he will see through it, that we get through our trials and situations in a matter of time. Now, what does it mean to know that God is faithful? Well, one of man's greatest sins is unfaithfulness. Let me tell you something about man. Man will fail you. Man will lie to you. Man will deceive you. And man will forsake you. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm telling you, I will do it to you because I'm a man. You know, and I'm not that I would willingly want to do that, but we're human. Because you can't really totally put your trust in man. And that's why when things happen in churches and preachers fall and stuff like that, a whole bunch of people are almost just wiped out because they put their trust in the faithfulness of man and not the faithfulness of God. And they trusted in man rather than they did God. But a person's word is to be their bond and their guarantee that what they promise, they will do. Now, there's been times in my life, and I know yours too, that because of providential circumstances, it makes it impossible for you to keep your word. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart directs his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You know what life is all about? If the Lord wills, we will do this and we will do that. And I learned that the hard way sometimes in my life. But you talk about sinful man. He is constantly displaying unfaithfulness to his word. And his word is supposed to be his bond, because what he promises he's going to do, he should do. Now, we break our word and promise to God. We break our word and promises to each other. And sometimes we are guilty of making promises that we're not going to keep. Y'all with me? Let me give you a classic. I'll be praying for you. Have you ever done that? I heard somebody talking over the radio the other day, and somebody had been through a tragedy, and they said, well, our prayers and our thoughts will be with you. I'm going to go, how would I know that your thoughts are with me? I mean, you know, some people really mean that, but what I'm saying is they're just throwing that out there. They don't intend to pray for them. They're just saying it to be saying it. And so if you're a Christian and you tell somebody you're going to be praying for them, don't just let it be a pious thing to say. Get on your knees and pray for them like you gave them your word that you would. Man breaks his bond in the business world. Man breaks his bond in the marriage vows. Man breaks bonds of friendship. Men naturally are born truce breakers. And talking ecclesiastically, you're talking about the church and ministers and things, there's a multitude of ministers that have covenanted to teach the word of God faithfully. But instead, what they do is they compromise the integrity of the word of God, and it's usually pressure that made them do that. People covenant together and agreed to pledge to the church to do things. Y'all with me? You know where I'm going. And they're unfaithful to the vows to the church. But you gave your word. The first thing we say when we look at our covenant responsibility, if we agree together too, y'all with me? And so you're just giving your word. It's not a big thing about it, you know, but you're giving your word as a member of a church. Unless something happens in my life and I can't do this or I can't do that or I can't be or anything, I agree together to be here with you doing this, doing that, praying, hearing the word of God or whatever I need to do, because that's a sign that you're like your Savior. You're faithful to your word. Psalm 116, the psalmist was under great distress and persecution, and he was talking about ungodly men. And he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. And what the psalmist was saying there, he said, you don't need to believe a word they say or trust that they will fulfill anything that they promise. And this should not be true of any Christian, because a Christian's word is his bond. And the other reason why I say that is because our Heavenly Father is faithful. We should do the best we can to be faithful also to our word and promises to each other and to the church or whoever else. But the great news tonight is this: God is not like that. So what does faithfulness mean? It means God is faithful to his word, and his word is his bond. Hebrews 6:17 to 18 said it's impossible for God to lie. If he said it and promised it, it will be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And we all in many ways, one way or another, have been unfaithful to Christ and the light that he's given us. But thank God for 2 Timothy 2:13. Because Paul tells Timothy this. He says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful still, and he cannot deny himself. God remains faithful and steadfast in all of his attributes, true to all of his promises, and faithful to his word. As we heard this morning, there is no variation or shadow of turning with God. God says, I, the Lord, change not. His immutability, his unchangeableness, guarantees his faithfulness. Because he is God, faithfulness is one of his glorious perfections. And he's faithful in all things at all times. And it's absolutely impossible for God to lie. For God to lie would go contrary to his nature. When we say God is faithful, he's perfectly trustworthy, reliable, dependable. And his integrity is on the line with his word. His word is his bond. He is the truth, and all he speaks is truth. That's why, and any preacher will tell you this, the most confidence I have in anything I tell anybody else is right here. Because I know this is truth. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, my opinion is not truth. My feelings and circumstances are not truth. But this right here is truth. And if I tell you this, I can tell you that what I'm telling you, I know exactly that this is the truth. And there's no lie in here. Amen. This is the word of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 89:8, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? And then he says here, your faithfulness also surrounds you. And he's just telling God that he is clothed in faithfulness. Psalm 36:5, he says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. So he's simply proclaiming the unchanging faithfulness of God. I thought about the other day, I was looking through the attributes of God. Regardless of what attribute you're studying about God, there are not enough words to cover how great God is. I mean, the magnitude of his greatness and who God really is, it's great. It's vast, it's incomprehensible, it's infinite. You know, you read about his attribute, he never forgets, he never overlooks, he never makes a mistake, he never forfeits his word. God never makes a promise that he cannot keep. God never lacks the power or the resources if he chooses to use means to fulfill his word. I mean, what we need to learn how to do is boast on God and boast in God. You know, I tell people all the time, I say, I go to a great church, and I boast in this church, not in a bad way, you know. And I always tell them how bad we are as sinners, too. But when I talk about God, there's nothing bad to say. You know, I mean, he's just so great, and it's so vast. I mean, sometimes you want to shout when you are studying the attributes of God. That's why we sang that last hymn tonight, how great thou art, because God will bring to pass and fulfill every promise or prophecy that he's spoken of in his word. When you read the Old Testament, it's full of God fulfilling his promise of blessings or judgment, depending on obedience or disobedience to his word. God was faithful to everything he told Israel that he would do. Psalm 119:138, the psalmist says, your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and faithful. And he's just saying they are steadfast. Your testimonies and commandments that you have given us, they are established. They are truth. Not only did God fulfill the illustrations of his faithfulness, of his goodness, but he fulfilled his faithfulness to judge them when they sin. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, will he not do it? And has he spoken it, will he not make it good? So like I said, Israel had to learn this the hard way. And so the history of the nation of Israel in every way, shape, or form is an example of the faithfulness of God to his word one way or the other. Now, I don't want to say too much about much in the Old Testament tonight, but 1 Corinthians 10, Paul warns the church about the rebellion of the children of Israel who were led through the wilderness by Moses. And Paul said they became idolaters, they became fornicators and murderers. And he tells us, he says, let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him and was destroyed by the destroyer. And in this passage, what he does is he warns the brethren that God was faithful to carry out his threat of judgment on the disobedience of the children of Israel. And then in chapter 10, verse 6 and 11, and he said, these things happen to them as examples to us, not to lust after evil things as they did in the wilderness and were destroyed, because they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. So for God to be faithful to who he is, he must stay true to himself and to his word. And one of the things that God has to do to be God, he must punish all sin and rebellion. I am amazed how people look at the cross of Christ. And for years, I didn't understand it. But, you know, they have these sentimental eyes that don't really understand what was going on that gruesome scene at Calvary. And there's a lot you could say here, but just to be brief, the cross of Christ is a display, and it's a public display of God being faithful to his word. And that's his word to punish sin. God's being faithful to his character and his nature, being a holy God. When you look at the cross, you see the love of God, you see the mercy of God, you see the justice of God, you see the holiness of God, and you see the wrath of God. Most people, when they look at the cross, they look at it like Roman Catholics do. You know, they look at it in some kind of mystical way, you know, and they can't look past the physical scene of what was actually happening there. And so, you know, to procure our salvation, God gave up his son that we might be saved. And he was meeting the demands of justice right there. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. And he's provided a way through the sacrifice of his son to all who will believe. That was necessary to wash away our sins, never to be remembered anymore. Amen. That was absolutely necessary. And not only was it necessary for our sins, it was necessary to be done for all the sins of the Old Testament saints. Mm-hmm. They're saved by the same Savior.
That's right.
You know, most people, I hear people saying, you couldn't be saved until Jesus went to the cross. I say, well, where did they go in the Old Testament? They were saved. There's a lot more you can say about that, but I'm just saying that tonight. But he's provided a way. And the only other alternative for one to spend eternity, if he doesn't repent of his sin, is in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It's very simple. Either Jesus will bear the wrath of your sin, or you will bear it. And you will bear it for eternity. Well, God will also be faithful to all sinners who believe his promise of salvation. The classic passage, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God is faithful to his word, whether it's his promises or whether it's his threats, God will be faithful to his word. Well, scripture is full of God fulfilling his word and his promises. I just want to give you a few, and these are not going to be as deep as you would think they are, but Genesis 8:22, God's promise of the seasons and day and night, as long as this present earth remains. God made this promise after the judgment of the flood. And what he says here, he says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. I was looking at Revelation 21 the other day. You do not need the sun and the moon in the New Jerusalem. Because he says the glory of God is going to illuminate. The glory of God. And it's something else I thought of. Jesus is the light of the world. He's also going to be the light of the other world. The light of both worlds. The light to come. But anyway, every day that we arise from our beds and walk on this earth, it bears witness to this promise from our faithful Creator. Man is not by his wisdom or his logic or his scientific research preserving and saving the planet. I say this all the time. I think it's a hoax of human pride. The heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, man, everything is under the providential control of God.
That's
I'm not telling you something that you don't know. I'm just reminding you because the world's talking another way right now. Like God's totally out of control of everything. God not only controls his creation, but he preserves his creation. Amen. It was God the creator that put that eclipse on display.
That's right. Amen.
They said Mother Nature. I say God.
Amen.
God put it on display. And what a display it was. And because of God, he's faithful to see. And as Daryl taught us in Sunday school one time, he got so far in my head with numbers, I couldn't keep up with him. But he sees to it that the solar system stays in order.
That's right.
I mean, in precision, like it moves around at his command so that the earth will not collide with the sun and the moon and the stars and all the other planets that's in the universe. God is holding all that together by the word of his power.
Amen.
You say, what's all it got to do with this? God is faithful. We haven't run into another planet yet. I'm not trying to be funny, but it's true. But that's the faithfulness of God. And we take that for granted. Food is still growing. Air is still being breathed. The sun is still shining. The clouds still make rain because of the faithful benevolence of God. And you know what? All creatures, whether they're good or evil, partake of the goodness of God. Do you know that God is faithful to unbelievers? Did y'all know that? God is faithful to sinners. Matthew 5, classic scripture we read all the time. Jesus said that the Father in heaven makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. And it says his tender mercies are over all. Paul says in him we live and we move and we have our being. God is faithful to unbelievers. He feeds them every day, and he's giving them time to repent in this world. God is faithful to give you time to repent. He gave me a long time. You know, you say, how much time do you think you need? You need as much time as you get to repent. But I wish I could have repented when I was 1 year old or maybe in my mother's womb, you know. But all the years that God put up with me and all the sin that I did in those years, I see how good and benevolent and how merciful and how compassionate God really is. Listen to the words of Jeremiah the prophet. For a sinful people who were really in some sin, whom God had had great mercy upon. Lamentations 3:22. He said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. The reason why our sinners are not immediately wiped out or immediately judged is because of the faithfulness of God. And he says, they are new every morning. Did you know that God's mercies are new every morning, regardless of how you live? Because most of the time, we're not in order with God like we need to be. But his mercies are new every morning. And that's why the prophet says, great is your faithfulness. Because the prophet is telling God that you're trustworthy, you're reliable, you're dependable, you're trustworthy and reliable to keep your covenant promises. They are secure. How great is thy faithfulness? And Israel had the covenant promises, and God was faithful to the covenant that he promised to them. Because he could have totally wiped them out, and he didn't. Well, God is faithful in his mercy, his sympathy, his compassion, his long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Man was made to have dominion and to be a good steward over God's creation. Man was made to enjoy it. But he was not made to take the place of God to preserve his creation. The destiny of the earth and the whole creation is under the control of Almighty God. And Genesis 8:22 will come to an end when Christ returns to this earth. 2 Peter 3 says the heavens and the earth will stay intact until the second coming of Christ. And of course, sinners and saints both will be alive on the earth at that time. But he said, the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's being long-suffering, giving sinners time to repent. When the day of the Lord takes place, both the earth and all the works in it will be burned up. The heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. And he says the elements will melt with fervent heat. But this is what I want to get to. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. God is going to faithfully end this cursed earth as we know it now. Not man. And he's going to fulfill this promise that we'll have a new heavens and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Now, there's many other passages in the Old Testament that shows God's faithfulness and how he fulfilled. But I want to show you one more. Genesis 15:13-16. He promised Abraham that his descendants would be strangers in a foreign land and to serve and be afflicted for 400 years, which was the land of Egypt. And then he promises to judge that nation that they serve. And afterward, they will come out with great possessions. He tells Abraham, you won't be here because you're going to die and you'll go to your father in peace. Your father's in peace. But in the fourth generation, he says they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not complete. And there were centuries had passed by before God fulfilled this promise. Can you imagine somebody making you a promise and you had 400 years before you see it come to pass? Most people would stop believing real quick. The word of God says Noah preached 120 years saying there's going to be a flood. Now, how many people you think ridiculed Moses and scorned what he was saying? That's just like what we read in 2 Peter. You know, they said, where is the promise of his coming? They've been saying that all the time, that the Lord's going to return. It's never going to happen. Well, Exodus 12:41 says, it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Brethren, God is faithful. My wife and I, we knew a woman that had prayed for years for her son. And they never got to see this, you know, because she died and her husband died and you know, just years passed by. And we remember praying, you know, begging God for salvation. So we're sitting at home one day, just sitting in talking or something in the living room. So somebody knocks on the door. Guess who it was? Her son. Thoroughly saved. You say, what are you saying? They didn't get to see it, but God was faithful. He heard their cries. She, when Venice and I listened to his testimony, she looked at me and I looked at her. We about fainted going, you kidding? Because see, we'd already got in unbelief. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this thing's over with. You know what I'm saying? But what I seen about that was, is that God will fulfill his promises whether I see it or not. God is faithful. And he heard their prayers. And the young man got saved. Now, he doesn't understand what we know, you know, about how long they prayed for him and everything. But God was faithful to answer that. Well, all the promises of the Old Testament to Abraham, David, and the prophets, and the Messiah to come, all these things, God has been faithful to all these promises. And so when we say God is faithful because he is God. He cannot lie. All his promises will come to pass. Now, we'll begin to close down tonight talking about God's faithfulness in the lives of his people. And I won't be long with this. Number one, he's faithful to preserve us unto salvation. That's easy to talk about. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Pastor Jim said one of these this morning, John 8:29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able or no one is powerful enough to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The absolute security of all believers is not founded on their own strength or ability. Y'all want me to say it again? Amen. It's founded on the veracity. That's a big theological word there. The faithfulness, the trustworthiness of him who cannot lie. And you said, you know, sometimes you fight with, you know, your security with God and your assurance and things like that. But let me tell you this tonight. People are in heaven and people will be in heaven because of God's faithfulness to his covenant with his son. That's why people are in heaven. And you know what I say to all that? To God be the glory. Amen. There is a heaven tonight because God is faithful. There is a church tonight because God is faithful. There are people on this earth right now believing because God is faithful. Second thing, God is faithful to discipline his people. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:75, we talked about that a little bit this morning. He said, I know, Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. When was the last time you was in a trial and said, Lord, I'm in this trial because I know you're faithful? Or what were you saying? How can I get out? What have I done wrong? You know, stuff like, I mean, I know all the human things. I say them myself. But Hebrews 12 said, he was talked this morning that he's faithful to chasten us because he loves us. And it's for our spiritual profit. And because he loves us, the purpose of chastisement is to bring us to a place of more holiness and righteousness and to conform us into the image of his son. Can I say it this way? You'll understand it. God will spank you and God will deal with you. And I know when he's doing it in my life. And I usually know why. I didn't say I always did. But I usually know why. And there's sometimes some things, sometimes you think things slip by God. He sees everything you do. And he wants it corrected. And he wants you headed in the right way. And sometimes he just uses it. And some of these chastisements doesn't have to be something great and overwhelming. Just little aggravating things that just continue to aggravate. You ever had a sensitive tooth? And anything that touches it, it just hurts. I've had trials like that. And it's just like it's not going to ever go away. And God was showing me some things in my life that he wanted to change. I prayed about it and got on my knees. And over a period of time, it worked out. And it changed an element of my life that needed to be changed. It was just an attitude about something. 1 Corinthians 11:32, Paul says, when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. And this is one you'll shout about. God is faithful in glorifying his people. God's purpose of bestowing his grace upon us is for one reason, glorification. Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. I just basically looked up the word glorified to see what it basically means. It means to honor or beautify by admission to a state of bliss. God is preparing us for a state of bliss. God is going to be faithful to continue this good work in us until we get to glorification. And God is going to be faithful to see that grace will do what it was destined to do. Glory. You say, what is glory? Here's what glory is to me. To dwell personally with Christ forever. That's glory. So regardless of what we suffer or what we must face in this life, the very best thing we can do is trustfully resign ourselves and all our affairs to the hands of a faithful God. Commit ourselves or our souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Because if we do this, we will humble ourselves up under his providences and we will realize that God is faithful. And one thing you realize when you see God is faithful and you trust in him and his providences in your life, you will see that he does all things well. Well, for application tonight, I want to look at two scriptures because I think God made his greatest promise to the serpent after Adam sinned in the garden. That's just my opinion. Genesis 3:15, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And then, of course, you know, speaking of the crucifixion, which most people think it is. Isaiah 7:14, he said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Because God was faithful to fulfill these two glorious promises by sending his son to drink the cup of wrath in our place on that cross at Calvary's Hill 2,000 plus years ago, we are here tonight blessed to be able to worship and praise the true and the living God. I think that the church is a glorious testimony to the faithfulness of God. And I don't care what the church is. And what I'm saying is we're here tonight because God is faithful. And you say, why is he faithful? Because he has called us into the fellowship of his son. And that call that he made toward us to come, he is faithful to that call. Now, there's many other glorious promises yet to be fulfilled for the people of God. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blame. And Hebrews 9:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he is faithful who promised. God will bring all these promises to pass for the church. Now, if you're an unbeliever tonight, guess what? It's good news for you. God is faithful. I'm going to use a scripture, and I think it's for believers and unbelievers, but I'm going to use a classic scripture of God's faithfulness for you. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's based on the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. This promise is given because the price has been paid for all sin. An atonement and a covering for sin has been made. And God is faithful and merciful, and he's long-suffering toward you. He's good to you. He's forbearing you in your rebellion. And it's all designed to bring you to repentance. And I would say this tonight as we close down. If you're a sinner, do not despise the riches of his grace and his goodness and his long-suffering with you, because God is faithful to the promises of salvation through his Son to all who will believe. I thought about it the other day. There is a number that no man can number that can testify to the faithfulness of God. And someday we'll all be together and we'll be singing the praises of God. And you'll look back at your life, and I don't know how much we'll see of our life, but you're going to say God is faithful, because we were kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. You want to have something to be thankful for Thanksgiving? God is faithful. I was so thankful to think about how faithful he's been and look back. And, you know, God hasn't promised me, I know people think, I said, God hasn't promised me that anything will be anything. But he has promised me salvation through his Son. And thus God will be faithful to fulfill that promise in that last day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness that you've shown to us in our lives over and over again. And Father, yes, when we've been unfaithful, you have been faithful still. And Father, we do pray tonight that the word of God that we've heard tonight and read and studied, and the hymns that we've sung tonight, Lord, that they will bring glory to you. Father, that the world would see how faithful and good and trustworthy you are. Father, we thank you tonight that there is a number that no man can number, a multitude of people that have partaken of your goodness. Lord, that have partaken of the benefits of the cross of your Son. And Father, there are some that sat here tonight. We want that for them. Father, we want to see them saved by the power of your glorious Spirit. Father, we want to see them to be made children of God, walking by faith and not by sight. Father, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.